Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. I want to say happy Thursday to you all. It is February 1, 3, 2020, Valentine's Day Eve, and you are now rocking with us here on WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live on WKAR, AM 870, 105.1 FM. Well, well, well. Quite the day it was here in East Lansing as Mel Tucker officially became Michigan State football's 25th head coach. I mean, it was unlike any scene that I've witnessed since I've been here at Michigan State as a reporter. And immediately after we got off the air, we began to prepare some spots for news. And, you know, I headed over to the Hanna Administration Building where Mel Tucker was officially confirmed as Michigan State football's next head coach. He received a unanimous 7-0 vote. That was expected, right? And then about an hour and a half after that meeting at the Breslin Center, Mel Tucker was introduced to the public. And that's where we heard from Mel for the first time. And this thing was just crazy, right? I mean, you had local TV stations camped out at the airport, tracking his flight. You know, it's funny. I was talking to some local reporters. They were on, like, online tracking private plane flights from Colorado to Lansing, Michigan. Well, there's only one, right? So pretty much guess where that plane was going and who was on that plane, right? So you had local TV stations camped outside waiting for that plane to land. There were shots of Mel Tucker getting off the plane with his wife and two boys. There were cheerleaders there. The band was there. Sparty was there. And, of course, he went to the administration building, got confirmed there, and then his introductory press conference was at the Breslin Center. And walking in there, I mean, just about on every video board, because it happened in the Gilbert Pavilion right next to the Hall of History, right inside, really, the Basketball Hall of History. And every video board that was in that Hall of History had "Welcome Mel Tucker to Michigan State." And you had Michigan State coaches there, such as Danton Cole of the Michigan State hockey team. You had Kathy George of the Michigan State women's volleyball team there. You had the golf coaches. I mean, just about everybody was there. Tom Izzo, of course, he was there. He spoke before Mel Tucker took the podium. Mark D'Antonio was not there. I got a point I want to make concerning that. We'll get to that in just a moment, okay? But Mel took the podium. This whole introductory press conference lasted about 45 minutes. You had President Stanley, who was like the unofficial host of the introductory press conference, and you even had some Michigan State football players who were present, including one particular player, Michigan State linebacker Antoine Simmons, who spoke on behalf of the players, and he kind of gave us a peek into what it was like meeting Mel Tucker for the first time, because he did head over to the Scandalera Center and they went to the theater room. They were all in the theater room. You guys probably have seen this video on social media, and Mel Tucker walks in to a round of applause and he speaks to the team. And Antoine Simmons
kind of gave us a peek behind the curtain as to what that interaction was like. I'll get to that later on this hour as well. But I want to switch up the show a bit today. I do want to let you guys know that my in-studio guest today will be our dear friend of the show, former Michigan State men's basketball player, now motivational speaker, the Relentless Tour's own, Anthony Iani. He'll be live in studio to not just talk Michigan State hoops, because we will get to Michigan State hoops, I hope, at some point today. Michigan State coming off that win against Illinois in the final seconds. We have yet to touch on that still because of the Mel Tucker hire. But I want to get Ant's thoughts on the Mel Tucker hire because, you know, Ant and I, we always have these impassioned conversations through text message about what is happening in Michigan State sports. And, of course, Anthony's father is former Michigan State Deputy Athletic Director Greg Iani. So Ant has a very close ear to Michigan State athletics. So we're going to get his thoughts on the show in just a moment. But I got to start here. I'm shaking up things a bit. Alec Rio is our engineer behind the glass today. And also, before I push forward, you know, we have a lot of viewers who tune in and day out on our Facebook live stream. And you're probably wondering, who is that guy rolling around in the background of today's current sports? And that is Jason, a part of the WKAR-TV team. Carol is also here. You can't see her. She's like hiding behind the scenes to your left for if you're viewing on the live stream right now. But they're shooting some stuff, enhancing the current sports brand, all right? More details on that later on. But if they're floating around, you're like, who is that? That's who they are, okay? Go green. Jason says, go green, all right? Go white. And Carol says, go white. All right, love that. Alec Rio is behind the glass. Jack Kerwin is behind there as well. Alec Rio and Jack Kerwin, they were there present with me, helping me cover the craziness that was the Mel Tucker hire yesterday. We'll get their thoughts later on this hour as well. But I want to address this because this has been something that's been on my mind since Mel was officially confirmed yesterday. And there has been some backlash when it comes to this hire, as you can imagine, from the perspective of Colorado fans. And not even just Colorado fans. I saw the mothership, ESPN, the worldwide leader, they were breaking down the Mel Tucker hire live on the air that morning, yesterday morning, and kind of like picking apart why this is such a bad thing for collegiate athletics and why this is one of the many problems with collegiate athletics. I saw Keyshawn Johnson, the former famed wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I believe he played for a few other teams, but he is now an analyst for ESPN. And, you know, he closed that segment saying that, I'm not sending my son to Michigan State. There has been such backlash from a national perspective and specifically, and this is the one I understand the most, from the perspective of Colorado football fans. What we all have to understand here, now again, and you're probably listening to this saying, well, Al, that's a their problem. That's not our problem. Totally understand that. But I do want to address that because it is the elephant in the room right now. This is a business. Tucker doubled his salary. I'm sure many of you out there working on your respective JOBs, if another company came to you with an offer in which you had the opportunity to double your salary and improve your lifestyle with a few more bucks, in this case, a few more millions, you're telling me you wouldn't take that. Tucker doubles his salary. This is a business. Michigan State is paying Tucker $5.5 million per season here at Michigan State. That's a part of a six-year contract. Do the math. That is, in total, $33 million. Tucker was one season into a five-year $14.75 million contract at Colorado. He leaves in the middle of that contract. $14.75 million in comparison to $33 million? That's a no-brainer, right? Now, why this stings for Colorado fans out there, and I'm going to get to the player perspective as well in a matter of a minute. This happened after signing day. This happened after he goes, Tucker, goes on local radio shows in Colorado and says that he's committed. This happens after he goes to an event the night prior and tells donors that he's committed. This happens after he put out a tweet on Saturday saying that I am committed to Colorado football. Of course it's going to sting if he decides to, out of nowhere, quote unquote, out of nowhere, decide to come to Michigan State to coach the Michigan State football team. There were a few reactions, well, not a few, many reactions coming from the player perspective out in Colorado. Colorado receiver KD Nixon, quote, man, tell me this can't be true. Colorado running back Jaron Mangum, quote, I stopped believing in a man's words a long time ago. Not going to change my goals and aspirations. Colorado running back Joe Davis, quote, can't believe this. Crazy how promises can just be thrown away for some money. Stay strong, Buff Nation. Colorado corner Mekhi Blackmon, quote, I'm typically the one to stay positive, but we really don't deserve this stuff. Colorado cornerback Chris Miller, quote, we still going to shine. Colorado offensive lineman Jake Wiley, quote, not the first time a coach quit on me. Going to ride with my brothers. Time to see what life has next. Colorado receiver Brendan Rice, who signed with CU in December. Again, there's two signing periods now, one in December and one in February. He signed in December, finishing up his senior year of high school. Quote, it's a business. You also got to understand the lives you've affected. Blessings to the commits, for we don't know the obstacles that lie in the road ahead. So many. I mean, I could go on and on here, too. I mean, that was just a small portion of Colorado athletes, Colorado football players who were not happy with Mel Tucker deciding to chuck up the deuces and come to East Lansing. We all know what the elephant in the room here is. Players need more power. A transfer has to sit out a year unless receiving an exemption from the powers that be. I understand it's not fair. And it's also not fair from this perspective as well. Look, Pac-12 schools cannot compete against big conferences like that of the Big Ten and the SEC. To prevent a situation like this, a coach leaving for more money. The Pac-12 and in Colorado, they can't counter $33 million simply because the money isn't there. How do you balance that? And let's not even, I'm not even going to go down this rabbit hole of talking about the power shift that is going to get worse when players are able to profit off of their names and likeness, which I am in favor for. That is long, long overdue. Because you got players in a situation like this, and I understand this is a Colorado problem, this is not a Michigan State problem, but you got a situation like this where Colorado players who saw Mel Tucker walk in that living room and heard him promise this and that, and I'm going to be around, and now he's gone. They're in a situation where, okay, what do I do now? Players have no power here. And when it comes to this whole dynamic between Pac-12 schools and other conferences, smaller conferences, in comparison to a conference like the Big Ten, you know, as of last year, Big Ten schools were raking in more than $50 million in conference revenue shares. $50 million. The SEC announced last month that its latest revenue shares are $45.3 million per school. I mean, that's mind-boggling, isn't it? And that number is going to jump when its latest media rights deals start kicking in. So, Colorado had no chance here. And I understand, you know, being a man of your word and integrity and character. But look, let's keep it all the way 1,000. If somebody offered you double of what you're making right now, you would be out of there. Mel Tucker did what any human being would do. You know, Pat Ford of SI, Sports Illustrated, put it this way. Quote, beyond that, there is the sheer hypocrisy of a coach who was quoted as saying in October, quote, there's no transfer portal in the real world, end quote. Absolutely using the coaching transfer portal to fatten his wallet. Fact is, Tucker has now transferred 11 times in his coaching career, bouncing around the college and NFL levels without anyone ever making him sit out a year. So true, right? Things are going to move in a better direction again once players will be able to profit off of their names and likeness. But this is how it is right now. This is how the system is set up. It is a business. And for Colorado fans everywhere, the system is the problem. And from Mel Tucker's standpoint, he's saying don't hate the player, hate the game. That's just how it is. Had to get that off my chest to start today's current sports. Hopefully you're having a fantastic Thursday afternoon. You know what, Alec, right now let's hit our first break. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can call or even now text. If you would like to be a part of the show, you can comment below the Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR news. You can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR news. Multiple ways in which you can weigh in. After we come back, you will hear from Anthony Iani, former Michigan State men's basketball player, now renowned motivational speaker. He'll weigh in on the hire of Mel Tucker, and we'll talk some MSU men's hoops with him as well. You are listening to Current Sports, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM.
Over here. Obviously, as you said, it's been a blur the last few days or the last week. Can you describe what you were wrestling with when you first seemed to commit back to Colorado and then came back to Michigan State? What changed there, and what were you wrestling with during that time?
Yeah, you know, everything, you know, has a process, and I'm very deliberate about, you know, how I go about my business and how I evaluate things, you know, professionally and personally. And leaving Colorado was actually the toughest thing that I've ever done in my career, in my life, actually. And so, but this is the right time for me to be here. You know, that's really what it comes down to. You know, the commitment is here. The resources are here. The the want to. The leadership is here. You know, everything is here. Everything we need is here right now to get done what we need to get done. And so, although we all have to make tough decisions at times, this was certainly one of them. It was the right decision. Right? And there's no doubt in my mind about that.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I wanted to play that snippet from the Mel Tucker press conference because that was the big elephant in the room. You know, why did you decide to come to Michigan State after previously putting out there to the public on Saturday, courtesy of your Twitter page, that you were staying put in Colorado? We all know why, though, but you heard it from the mouth of Mel Tucker right there. Many people weighing in right now. We've got 32 comments coming in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Alex says, you really have to feel for those kids out in Boulder. I have sympathy for them. Mike says, the only loyalty is to the moolah. I think if a head coach leaves, a player ought to be able to transfer. No penalty. You continue to weigh in there at facebook.com/WKAR News. Call in 517-355-WKAR. Right now, I want to invite to the show, though, a dear friend of Current Sports. He is always working, always in the community, impacting so many lives. Now as a renowned motivational speaker, he is former Michigan State men's basketball player, Anthony Iani. Ant, what's up, my man?
What's going on, Al?
Always good seeing your face, man, and you know, this has been quite the week here.
It's been Michigan State. It has been, man. There's no question about that.
Oh, boy. I think I've gotten like a total of maybe like 6 hours these past 2 days. Six hours of sleep these past 2 days. But thank goodness for coffee.
I was going to say, thank the Lord for caffeine, right?
There we go. What I want to tell you is, what I want to dive into, I should say, is at first, you know, when this hire came down, it was a bit of a surprise because, again, Mel Tucker, well, it was a surprise, not a bit of a surprise. It was a surprise. Mel Tucker seemingly turned down the job. The front runner, Luke Fickell, he came out on Monday morning and stated that, you know, he wouldn't be taking the job. And it like sent Spark Nation in a panic.
Yeah.
Where were you when you got the news? Were you up? I'm a night owl, so I was up up doing some work on my laptop, and I happened to go on Twitter right when the news broke. Where were you, and what was your reaction when you heard the news?
So, the Tucker hire, I was sleeping. I was fast asleep because
you were in dreamland.
Oh, yeah. I was in dreamland because that 9 o'clock tip off, it takes a lot out of you. So right. After the game was over, I probably stayed up to like maybe 12:15, watching SportsCenter, getting Seth Greenberg's take on, you know, whether we're still a Final Four caliber team or not. And then I went to bed around 12:30. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning to my phone just buzzing nonstop. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And I look at it. First thing that I get a text that says, Mel Tucker, signed, sealed, delivered. I was like, oh, cool. Mel Tucker's our coach. Good night. And I went back to sleep.
But then, so you saw it before you went to sleep?
No. So this was 3 a.m. So I saw the text at 3 a.m. My phone was blowing up at 3 a.m. And I just saw the first text I pulled up was Mel Tucker, signed, sealed, delivered. And that's why I was like, oh, Mel Tucker's our coach. All right, I'm going back to bed now. And then I woke up the next morning. I was like, oh, my, we got a new coach. And so I was going through all these tweets and texts. And I was like, wow. I'm like, the guy who initially turned us down is our coach. I said, that's pretty darn good considering where we were at to get him. Because the situation we were in after Luke Fickell, everybody was panicking. Everybody and their mother was freaking out.
Including you or no?
Oh, God, yeah.
You were?
Yeah, Al, because if you look at the list of candidates that people are throwing out there, like Chris Creighton at Eastern, Jim McElwain at Central, Brett Bielema, who none of our fans wanted that to happen. And you saw on social media all the different rumors and everything thrown out there. Like, even I was looking at that going, are we going to get this done? Like, is the administration going to get this done? Is Beekman going to get this done? Like, I don't know what to do. And so, like, and I was probably like you, refreshing tweets every 30 seconds, every minute. Like, okay, nothing yet, nothing yet. But then when I woke up on Wednesday morning and I found, like, read about Mel Tucker, I was like, you know what? To get him, that's huge, considering where we were at. And watching his presser, what I loved about him, Al, is he's all business.
He
ain't coming here to have fun. He's not coming here to like, he's here. He's all business, and he's coming to establish something right away.
Right.
And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see who he brings in. Yeah. I'm excited to see what he does. And, I mean, he stole my hashtag on Twitter, hashtag relentless. So I'm a little bitter about that. But
I'll put that out there. I did not see
that.
Yeah,
so okay. His hashtag is relentless. And so I kind of, you know, told people about that. It's like, all right, I'll let Mel off the hook. It's all good. But
maybe there's a collaboration there.
I'm down with that. I'm down with that. But I couldn't be more satisfied with the hire. You know, I think it's a good hire. And, you know, for once here at Michigan State, when it comes to the football program, we have hope again. Mm-hmm. There's hope for the future because there's more money towards assistance now. There's more money going towards strength and conditioning, something that hasn't been put toward the football program forever. So there's hope out there, and that's something that this university needs for once in a long time is hope.
I'm curious now because this is a big get for the program.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have had multiple conversations about the leadership here at Michigan State. You know, we're still kind of into what we're coming out of. We're healing right now from the darkest chapter in this university's history. Does this hire change your perception at all about Bill Beekman or the leadership that is currently here?
I'll just say this, and you and I have had conversations, phone, text, off the record. I'll just say this. There are still some people here at this university that need to take a good look, a good look in the mirror and ask themselves what's best for this university. Not what's best for me, not what's best for my ego or my pride or for my bank account. What's best for me? Because we had a couple people go to the media and say things they shouldn't have said, and it almost cost us this coaching search. So the focus should be on what's best for this university, not what's best for the not what's best for a board of trustee member, not what's best for our athletic director, but what is best for this university. Because you know this, Al. I mean, you went here. I went here. We graduated from here. You got people behind the glass that go here. You have colleagues that went here. What makes this university go is the students. What makes this university go is the student athletes. They're the ones that bring the pride here. They're the ones that bring the great tradition here at Michigan State. The faculty feeds off of that. That's what our administration needs to do. They need to feed off our student body energy because they're the ones that make this place. And I think our leaders need to take a good long look in the mirror sometimes and say, what's best for the university? Not what's best for us. What is best for the university? Not me as a person. What's best for our students, what's best for our student athletes, what is the best thing for this institution, not what's best for me as an individual.
Is Bill Beekman one of those individuals?
I'll give him credit. He did a great job. He did a great job with this hire, but you got to give his staff credit too. Mm-hmm. You got to give people like Jen Smith credit. You got to give Alan Haller some credit because that's what makes the athletic department go as a team effort. And there was a lot of people in the process, and I couldn't be more happier for them. I'm excited for them. They made a great hire. And, you know, Bill and his team did a phenomenal job getting this done.
Your dad is, of course, Greg Iani, former MSU deputy athletic director. What are the conversations that you've had with him concerning this hire? And what are his feelings toward where Michigan State is right now?
You know, we talked about the process a lot because, you know, there hasn't been a coaching search like this since, you know, Mark D'Antonio was brought in here. And so we talked about the process with that and who and how him and Ron Mason and Hollis made all these trips all over the country and did interviews and then took them back to the board. And then they did final interviews. So we were just talking about the process. And then we talked about Mel Tucker, the hire, and he likes the hire because he knows Mel from his time here as a GA. And obviously through his time with Coach Saban and my dad's relationship with Coach Saban. So, I mean, he likes the hire and I think he's looking, I think me and him are looking more forward to see who he brings on his staff, who's his OC, who's his DC, and who's the recruiting coordinator. I mean, obviously, Vince Morrow, Kentucky, is the big rumor out there right now. I mean, who knows? If he comes here, that's a big game changer for us as a program. It's going to be huge. But you can get your OC and DCs a million each and still have enough money to pay all your other coaches up to possible $500,000 a year.
Isn't that amazing? Because that's crazy. That's like the new format now. The Alabamas and the Clemsons, if you want to recruit on a high level, you got to have recruiters.
You got to pay your assistants.
And you got to pay your assistants. Yeah. Exactly.
And it's crazy how we went from like the number five program in the Big Ten to now the number two when it comes to assistant salaries, and now we're seventh in the country, which is crazy. And I will say when it comes to the assistant salaries, it's about time. It's about time we got those guys some money. So I'm excited, man. I'm very hopeful. And, you know, people got to understand, though, it's going to take this guy time. It's not going to take 2 years or a year and be done. It's going to take him at least 3 years.
At least 3 years.
At least.
Right.
Now, if he comes out this year and goes 8-4 somehow, I'll tell you what, we're in for a long, good run with Mel. We're in for some exciting times.
If that happens,
Ooh.
I mean, there'll be parades thrown into the streets here in East Lansing. I mean, my goodness. But I do want to touch on, before we talk some hoops here, I do want to touch on Mark D'Antonio as well.
Yep.
Because D'Antonio, the all-time winningest coach in Michigan State football history, to retire when he did was not ideal.
The timing, too.
The timing was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we're weeks away, just a few weeks away, excuse me, from spring football. My goodness.
That's crazy.
And then it was the day before signing day. We all know about that. We've been breaking down the timing here at, you know, on Current Sports this week and last week as well when it was announced. Not ideal. He wasn't at the press conference yesterday, which I do want to just touch on that elephant in the room just real briefly here because, you know, Mel Tucker did not bring up Coach D'Antonio.
Right.
During his speech, it was only until he was directly asked by Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press, your thoughts on Coach D'Antonio and his legacy, what does he mean to you? That's the only time Mel Tucker addressed Mark D'Antonio. And now he went on to say that, yeah, he's a mentor of mine. You know, I worked under him when I began my coaching career as a grad assistant back in 1997. But that was the only time he brought him up. Mark D'Antonio was not there. There are so many people speculating and reading into what that means,
right?
If it means anything, but it is a bit when you bring up Mark D'Antonio right now. There are varied reactions.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about his legacy currently here on this day, February 13th?
I think his legacy will never be touched. I mean, what he did for this university, what he did for that football program was incredible. I mean, the 13 years he did this, I mean, let's be honest, Al. I mean, that time period from 2010 till about 2015, it's probably the best 5 years of football that I've ever been and got to see at Michigan State.
Arguably the best we may ever see.
Oh, we may.
It's a high bar.
It is. And obviously Mel Tucker's up for the challenge, but I think as far as Coach D's legacy goes, I mean, it's still going to go down as one of the greatest right now in Michigan State history until somebody wants to surpass that one day. And was the timing of it weird? Absolutely. That's the only thing I was like, you know, why now? You know, why not, you know, back in January or whatnot? But, you know, I still can't think of nothing but good things to say about Mark and just what he's done for this university and everything that he stood for and what he did for those players and guys that I know who went through that program. Like, they're always going to be thankful for him. And me as a fan and as an alum, I'm always going to be thankful for Coach D no matter what.
All right, before we hit our final break here, and I do want you to touch on, you know, what I went on a bit of a monologue to start the show, all right, about Colorado's reaction to the news.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you expect? His pay got doubled. You had, I read a few tweets from former, you know, well, current and hopeful Colorado players who, when I say hopeful, they committed to Colorado, you know, under Mel Tucker's leadership. And they came out, and many players have voiced their displeasure. I've heard. I mean, my goodness, just real quick here, you know, I saw, hopefully I didn't close out the tab here. On USA Today, Drew Pearson, a wide receiver who played in the NFL for 11 seasons, all with Dallas, go Cowboys, posted a message on his Twitter account Wednesday, in which he called Tucker a, quote, con man.
I saw that, yeah.
Did you see that? After
Pearson's
grandson was recruited to the Colorado program, this is what the tweet said. In all caps, quote, Mel Tucker is a con man. He recruited my grandson to go to CU, said he wasn't going anywhere, and then ups and leaves. Sat there and lied to my face he wasn't going anywhere. There are so many layers.
Yep.
To that tweet, to this conversation. What are your thoughts concerning the reaction to Colorado fans and recruits? And what does this say about where the NCAA needs to go and what change, if any, in your mind needs to happen?
Well, as you know, Al, it's a business. It's a business. And you're going to do what's best for you and your family. And he was only getting paid like $2 million a year, and then we doubled a little bit more than what his pay was. So that's you or me in that position, and I'm looking at that going, hey, if I can get more money, yeah. Like, it's no disrespect to the place I'm at now, but it's a business. And it's not like he pulled a Lane Kiffin where he was at Tennessee for – he only used Tennessee just to go to USC. Mm-hmm. Like, I highly doubt Mel Tucker used Colorado to get this job because, again – we didn't expect Mark D'Antonio to retire the first week of February. We didn't expect that. I don't think anybody did. So I feel bad for the players because, you know, now they have to deal with a whole nother transition again. Right. That's the tough part. Shame on Colorado, though, for not letting Tucker talk to his players before he left.
I read that.
Like, that's just pity, man. Like, let the coach do what he's supposed to do, explain to his team why, and then let him be on his way. The fact that you didn't let him talk to his players, to me, is a petty move.
Is that a rule, or is that just Colorado?
I think that's just Colorado.
I think that's just Colorado. Yeah.
Because that's the first I've heard where a coach wants to go talk to his team, let him know he's leaving, and then
you can't
talk to our players. It
makes
like,
no sense.
No, it doesn't. Now, as far as the NCAA, it's – I don't know, man. I mean, this is – that's a tough one to answer because – the NCAA can only control so much when it comes to coaches leaving for other jobs and then transfers in the transfer portal. Like, they can only control so much. But will there ever be a rule one day where you had to be – it's like the one-and-done rule. You had to be at least 19 years old to go to the draft, or do you have to be at least 2 years at one place before you can move on to another head coaching spot? We could see that down the road. I wouldn't be surprised, but – it's just so hard for them to control, like, all – I don't know how many coaches there are in the country in Division One for them to say, oh, like, you're at Grambling State and you want to go to Jackson State now? Well, you got to wait 2 years for that. Like, you can't control all those situations. So,
because then you have the whole layer of honoring contracts. Like,
exactly.
You and
exactly.
I mean, if we're under contract at a job,
yep,
we can't just say bye-bye.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Can't do that. I'm under contract. There can be some legal action that will
take
place.
Yeah, which you don't want to get into.
Right. Exactly. Now, but in the context of this conversation, it's a bit different.
Right.
And the whole conversation is brought up now. Is that fair? And is it fair to recruits? No.
No.
Is it fair to Colorado? No.
No.
But it's a business, like you said, and that's just how the system is set up.
Well, it's like the NBA or professional leagues. You sign, like, D'Angelo Russell. Pretty sure when he signed at Golden State, he was probably expecting there to be for a while. Then he gets traded. It's a business.
It's a business.
It is what it is.
Right. For sure. All right. And stick around.
I got you.
Because after our final break right here, we're going to dive finally. It feels like that Illinois game was so long ago.
Seriously, man.
Finally, we'll talk some Michigan State basketball. Michigan State now is looking forward to playing host to Maryland this Saturday. College game day will be in town. But I want to recap the Illinois game. Michigan State wins at the final seconds of that game. Xavier Tillman, thank goodness. He dunked it. Thank goodness he dunked it this time. He didn't try to lay it in, but he grabs the rebound off the Cassius Winston miss, throws it down. Michigan State snaps a 3-game losing streak. When we come back, we'll recap that game, and I'll get your thoughts on if this Michigan State men's basketball team is a legit Final Four contender. That and more. We'll be right back.
Hey, yo. Thanks, Al.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We are joined in studio with Anthony Iani, who is a renowned motivational speaker now and is also a former Michigan State men's basketball player. I want to talk some Michigan State hoops with Ant right now because, you know, when it comes to this team, and I mean, I can't get a read on them because, you know, they lose three straight.
Mm-hmm.
They go into Illinois, a team that has been playing some really good basketball. They are still in competition for possibly winning the Big Ten regular season alongside Penn State and Maryland, who's the top dog right now. But Michigan State goes on the road, looks great in that first half.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half happens. Illinois storms all the way back, and it takes a last-second Xavier Tillman put back slam off a Cassius Winston miss in order for the Spartans to snap that three-game losing streak. Where is your head right now with Michigan State men's basketball? How legit of a contender in the Big Ten? I'll just start with the Big Ten for right
now. Yeah.
Are they to possibly win this whole thing in Raleigh?
You win Saturday, you're definitely a legitimate contender. Yeah. But you got to go on the road. You got to go to Penn State and Maryland to get the job done. And so for us, Cassius still needs help. And, I mean, thank goodness Rocket Watts, mm-hmm. you know, showed what he's capable of doing. And if Rocket Watts does what he did against Illinois from here on out, mm-hmm. we're going to be tough to beat. Yeah. We're going to be very tough to beat. And, you know, part of the reason why, you know, Illinois, you know, got back in the game the way they did because Cassius was in foul trouble. And if Cassius isn't in foul trouble and plays better than what he was that day or that night, I should say, you know, that game's not 1 point. It's not a 2 point game or whatever it ended up being. Mm-hmm. So Cassius still needs help. You know, it can't just be him and Xavier Tillman. Like, he needs Aaron Henry to keep chipping in. He still needs He needs Rocket Watts to keep pitching in. You need Gabe Brown coming off the bench, giving you 9 points. You need Marcus Bingham chipping in.
Aaron Henry.
All those guys. And if we keep getting guys that are going to chip in and do their roles and, you know, do their jobs and knowing their roles, we're going to be just fine. And it starts Saturday with Maryland. If you beat Maryland at home, you beat a top 10 team at home again with Maryland, we're right back in it. We're only 2 games out right now. Rutgers lost. They're 3 games back now. So we just got to keep digging away, man. That's all we can do.
And I want to follow up with the Cassius Winston point you just made, because that's what we've talked about multiple times here on the show. I feel like every game I'm talking about it. But Cassius Winston being the guy, we all know he's the guy. And this car goes when he is having a great, great game. But when other teams are starting to key on him,
mm-hmm.
which they are.
Yep.
And when, like, you have a situation against Illinois where he gets into foul trouble and he's got 4 fouls and you have to put him on the bench, then you bring in Foster Lawyer. And there was a moment there where Foster Lawyer comes in. And, again, it's like the opposition just looks at him and says, that's lunch.
Right.
And they go right at him. The guard goes at him and, boom, layup. And then on the fast break, it was a missed shot. I forget who the Michigan State player was that missed it, but he gets beat on the boards, bullied on the boards. The guard gets the rebound, goes up, money. Tom Izzo immediately calls a timeout, puts Cassius in, and then Cassius comes in and hits back-to-back incredible shots.
Yep.
But it's a huge concern because all it takes is one game in the NCAA tournament. All it takes is one game in the Big Ten tournament for Michigan State to not have a great game from Cassius. Then you're just like, you know, I just feel like this team is going to go into panic mode at some point during the tourney. I don't like to think about that, but it's hard to ignore it right now.
Right. I don't think they'll go into panic mode because they almost did that last year against Bradley in the first round. And then for whatever reason, you know, the leadership took over and then we were fine after that. You know, Cash took over. Matt McQuay took over. Aaron Henry played better after Coach got on him in that second half that everybody, you know, went up in arms about.
Yeah.
But you know what? Because they're an experienced team, you know, that's what's going to make them one of the more dangerous teams in the tournament is because of experience.
Yeah.
And
right.
And the other thing too, Al, is like, there's no clear-cut favorite. And right. I think the only clear-cut favorite team in the country right now is Baylor. That's the only team I've seen that's put together complete games as far as speed, defense, rebounding, toughness, you know, post play, they got it all. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at teams like Gonzaga and San Diego State, I mean, let's not forget Gonzaga lost to Michigan. And Michigan, in my opinion, they're not exactly like top notch, you know, but Livers is coming back, so they're playing better. But like San Diego State, they don't play in good conferences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the Big Ten West in football. You know, it's Wisconsin and everybody else. That's how it's always is. So Gonzaga, it's them and everybody else. San Diego State, it's them and everybody else in their league. So, you know, they're going to be one seeds because of their record, because of the domination in their conference. So, but if you mean to tell me that if we get into like San Diego State's bracket or if we get into Gonzaga's bracket, it's very winnable brackets. And you know what? last year we had a tough bracket because Duke was in it, but you know, we managed. But if we get like set up in a San Diego State bracket with like Butler's and West Virginia's, we got a shot. Mm-hmm. We got a shot. But again, there's no clear cut favorite. So I think anything goes in this tournament this year, in my opinion.
Speaking of tough, Tom Izzo has alluded to this team not being as tough as they need to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Michigan State fans have voiced their concern about this team not being as tough as they need to be to make a legit run come postseason time. During your time as a player, you know, 2011, 2012, mm-hmm. what does Tom Izzo do if he is sensing a lack of toughness within his troops?
The intensity in practice kicks in, I can tell you that. Just like,
can you give an example during your playing days?
So there were times where I think we played at Illinois my senior year, and Draymond had just hurt his knee, and we lost like 42-41. It's probably the worst low-scoring game I've ever been part of in my entire basketball career.
42-41? That, we had a high school game?
That middle school, man. More like middle school. Yeah. But I just remember, like, we should have won that game, but we lost it because we weren't the toughest team that night. And so I remember going, watching film. We just watched it as a team. Iz wasn't in there. And then, luckily for us, Michigan was next on the ballot for us. Mm-hmm. So we watched nothing but Michigan quotes, Coach D'Antonio's Pride Before the Fall quote, because we had lost three in a row to those guys. And so we kind of got lucky that Michigan was next, because the next two practices after that were so intense as far as our transitioning drill, our box out drill, our rebounding drills. Like, we really got after it. So so he'll turn up the intensity in practice. That's
like,
how
does he do that? Is there something he says to you guys?
Oh, he just gets after us. He gets after us. And like,
the leaders on the team, Draymond, you guys?
So I mean, Draymond got after us. I got after people. Austin Thornton, Brandon Wood got after people. And then once certain individuals get after you, then everybody starts getting after it now. Now Everybody's getting after it. And same thing, whenever we did guards and big shootings, like, I always got the pad out and started just beating up Draymond the whole time.
The pads come out.
Yeah, the pads come out. And so it's that for the guards, the bigs. And even when we do our daily dozen to start up practice, Fife's out there with the pad, you know, whacking us with it. Or we have our managers out there, like, you know, pretending to defend us and so we can score, like, with defenders on us. So he turns it up to a whole different level by throwing little things in there. And whether it's the pads, we never use the shoulder pads like Mateen and those guys use, but you know, but were there a couple times where he said to us, I'm going to bring the shoulder pads out tomorrow. And we were like, yeah, let's do it.
Right. So you guys were down.
So we always accepted the challenge, you know, anytime he turned up the intensity and the heat in practice.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll see what happens again. Michigan State and Maryland. I believe that's going to be a 6 p.m. tip time at the Breslin Center on Saturday. College game day will be in the house. You know, I expect, if I had to guess, during college game day to get the fans fired up, those who will be attending that broadcast on national TV, Mel Tucker appearance, right? You would expect that, right?
I hope he gives Seth Greenberg and Jay Billis a couple of 2 cents.
So Seth Greenberg and Jay, they didn't like...
Oh, Seth went after him. Him and Keyshawn.
Mel Tucker?
Yeah, he went after him.
He did.
Keyshawn, because Keyshawn Martin.
With Richard Jefferson,
Keyshawn,
right?
Martin. Keyshawn called us Michigan Stank.
For Keyshawn Johnson, right?
Yeah, Keyshawn Johnson, not Keyshawn
right,
Martin.
We love Keyshawn Martin.
I love Kmart's my guy, man. Kmart's my guy. But no, Keyshawn Johnson called us Michigan Stank. I was like, you have no ties to Michigan State.
Right.
Your son got kicked off of Nebraska's football team. Mm-hmm. So, and you're coming after us. Why?
Yeah.
So, and I won't be surprised if a couple of our students made signs, you know. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised.
Interesting.
But again,
but can you, they check those signs before you come in, right? I think that's how they do it. But I mean, if somebody can sneak one in, I don't know.
I mean, if you could put a sign that's small enough in your sock or your shoe, then go for it, man. Because it's like the Red Wings game. People bring in squids or octopi in their pockets. And they just throw them on the
ice. That's sanitary. Yeah.
And it's also our reunion weekend too.
Exactly. It's a big weekend.
It's a big weekend, man.
It's the reunion weekend. Mel Tucker is the new head coach.
2000 national championship teams getting honor too.
2000 national champion. I mean, it's going to be an interesting atmosphere, to say the least.
I was going to say, it should be fun and exciting.
For sure.
Something we haven't had around here in a while.
That's so true. All right, and as we're coming up now in less than 10 minutes to close on today's current sports, I want to talk about what you're doing now, because I know you have been hard at work.
You are
a national motivational speaker. You have talked to many different audiences. You love talking to kids. I know when you love booking those gigs, because you get a chance to give them
And by the way, I get a chance. This just came to mind.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't long ago when ESPN talked about a player who was being dubbed as the first
Division One
basketball player with autism.
In history.
In history.
Yep.
When I read that headline and said, hold on. I thought Anthony Iani was the first Division One player with autism.
Oh, Al. And you thought my phone blew up about Mel Tucker. You should have seen my phone and Twitter that day. Oh.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
I was
so overwhelmed at the end of the day. Because it's like...
And it's a touchy thing because you don't want to like flaunt. Yeah, I'm the first one who had autism who played. Like, that's not something you want
to... And I reached out to his mom personally, too. Because I reached out to them, Kalen Bennett, his mom, a year ago, just congratulating him on the achievement of being the first athlete with autism to sign a letter of intent for college basketball at the Division I level.
Right.
So they had knew about me. But then for whatever reason, ESPN tried to change the narrative again. They try to do this, do that. They try to run away with the story. And then just the amount of support that I had from family, friends, Okemos, the Okemos community, Spartan Nation, it was just incredible, Al. And, like, I'm thankful for that.
I saw that on Twitter. And a lot of people came out and said, ESPN, you got this wrong.
Yeah, Seth Davis even came out Jeff Goodman, you know, he reached out to me privately and apologized for jumping the gun. So for all you Spartan fans out there, Jeff is not a bad guy. He's a good guy. but, you know, just like the national media and even people coming, reaching out to me saying, we fixed this, our bad, like, we'll make sure, like, because I know People Magazine did some about it, but then I reached out to them saying, no, here's what happened. And then they ran with it because it was the Associated Press and ESPN.
Yeah.
So they said, whatever stuff like that is out there, we run with it. And but when they said that, I was like, well, can't you go on Google, type, and then, like, it's only a
30. Do your homework.
Yeah, do your homework.
And do your homework.
That was the most disappointing thing was none of the media, maybe outside of Michigan State people and college basketball media, nobody did their research. Mm-hmm. And again, like, when ESPN put that out there, like, I had people who were saying, no, it's our guy. I mean, I don't know who runs this Twitter account, but there's a Twitter account called MSU Trump. It's like, it speaks like Donald Trump, but it's from Michigan State.
Interesting. And it's not like a fun Twitter account.
It is. It's like it's like the Shooter McGavin Twitter account.
Okay,
it's just like that.
Okay.
So he tweeted. So MSU Trump tweeted at me going, no, this is all wrong. The wonderful Anthony Iani of Michigan State was the first. I was like, you know what? That's something that our president would call me, the wonderful Anthony Iani. But, you know, but I reached out to Kalen, and I guess like a couple people went after him. You know, saying like, get your facts straight. You're not the first, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I had to reach out to his mom and said, hey, like, if any of our fans did that, I apologize because that should not. But his mom came back to me and said, we told Kent State to do their research. But again, Kent State ran with that narrative.
It's the 2019.
Late 2019.
Media world that we live in. You want to be the first and you want to have the sexy headline.
Yep.
And I can bring up the Kobe Bryant situation ABC News reporting there, and Rick Fox is on the plane.
Yep.
I mean, you know, in the world we live, and then heck, here at Michigan State, right?
Oh,
and there was some saying, oh, take it to the bank.
Fickle's here.
Fickle is here.
Done deal.
I mean,
nope.
You got to do your research as a journalist.
And I said this on Twitter too, Al, and I think it's something I'm going to live by forever. And I, you know, at ESPN on this tweet too, which, you know, I don't know if they saw it, but still, I said, you can change the narrative, but you can't rewrite history. That's like somebody saying Abraham Lincoln was the first president of the United States. No, George Washington was the first. Abraham Lincoln was the 16th. You can say that as a narrative, but you can't change the history. It's already been done. So
true. Well said, my man.
Appreciate it.
For you, what have you been up to, my man? I know you may have a book cooking. I know
So it's done. We're, you know, we had a deal on the table, but we had to turn it down for, you know, certain reasons, which I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
But we're still looking for a publisher right now. We're waiting to hear back from a couple people this week. But we're hoping by either the fall or early winter, you know, it'll be out. So that's still going. I'm in Nebraska next week. I'm in Texas the following week. I'm back in Illinois, and then I'm back in Nebraska. I'm scheduled to go to China right now to speak at the largest autism conference in Asia, but because of the coronavirus going on,
I think I'm
going to talk this over with my wife. I may back out of it just because of the health concerns and the safety concerns going on right now over there. And there's a ban for travels, you know, a U.S. ban for our citizens to go there because of the health reasons. So, but the fact that I was even asked to do that is pretty incredible.
It's awesome.
Then I go to North Dakota in April, and then I go to New Brunswick to speak at a day called We Day, which is in front of 8,000 people at an arena, and an additional 80,000 people watching via satellite. So
that is amazing. So, and I'm wondering, how has your audience, you know, just a few minutes left here, Ant, but how has your audience changed from the moment you started the Relentless Tour
it's getting more and more universities and college students now in front of me, Al, which I love. I mean, I had the privilege to talk to Michigan State's football team at the beginning of January.
I saw that.
That was like one of my biggest goals was to come back here and talk to the football team, and it was great. You know, I got to meet a lot of guys and still stay in touch with a lot of them. I mean, Antoine Simmons was one of them. That's how it got started, because he saw me speak in one of his classes, and then one thing led to the next.
Gotcha. Antoine was very well spoken. Very well. Yesterday's press conference.
That's what I love about him. He's just a well spoken guy. But getting more involved with college classes, college students, and universities, I'm seeing more with the audience when it comes to both my anti-bullying and my autism transitioning talks.
That's awesome stuff. And I know we could sit here for hours talking about the different responses you've gotten after speaking to a group, kids who are going through depression and suicidal thoughts.
Yep.
And I know we've talked off the air about, you know, how you've gotten messages from certain you know, members of our fantastic youth about how you saved their lives and made me look at my life.
I had another one last week, but wow. It was face to face.
That's why you do it, man.
Yep.
Right?
That's why I love it, man.
Awesome, awesome stuff. Well, Ant, this has been quite the conversation.
I've enjoyed it, Al.
I appreciate you, and we'll get back to our regularly scheduled program tomorrow, I guess, as we will preview MSU and Maryland. And
Stafford trade rumors.
Are you reading my rundown here? Yeah,
I saw the back.
Okay, you saw the back. Yeah, what happened to the Matthew Stafford trade rumors and Bob Quinn's response to that whole thing?
He'll be a Cowboy. I'll watch.
Oh, I would love that, boy. Don't get me too excited, man. All right, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Al.
Alec Rio, Jack Kerwin behind the glass, and our special guests, Jason and Carol, behind the scenes. We'll see you same time, same place tomorrow. And as always, be easy, people.